I'm Scott.
I'm Whitney.
And this is episode 95 of Frankly, My Dear. This podcast is sponsored by the short film In the Goodbye, which is now on sale from Shadow Dog Productions. Actress Alexa Yames, who was just nominated for Best Actress at the Action on Film Festival for her role in Dirt Cheap Therapy, has only shined in comedy, but now you could watch her in a dramatic short film. Besides the short, the DVD is loaded with bloopers, interviews, and audio commentaries, all for just $8, which includes shipping. Go to shadowdogproductions.com/ITG for inthegoodbye.html. What are we doing this week?
We are reviewing The Birds.
The Hitchcock aviary classic.
Yeah, and we are doing our top 5 Hitchcock films.
Of all time. Stick around. Whitney, who's our first writer in her?
Daniel.
From Test Patterns.
Yes. Daniel says, hey, please shout that as loud as possible. Read right on podcast in caps and all. All right. Great to hear the latest episode. Always happy when a new FMD surprises me. Now that the rap shows are over, is there a stronger likelihood that there will be a regular schedule for FMD releases now? I missed my weekly dose of Scott and Whitney, so I hope it is at least semi-regular now.
I really want to make a, push to get back to weekly.
When was our last one?
Two weeks ago, and the one before that was 2 weeks. Yeah, it was it got moved to every 2 weeks while I was putting out the album and getting the show ready.
I can commit to weekly if you can.
I can too. So we will do another one in a week from now.
All right. Since Scott is a fledgling rap star that goes by Atheist, does Whitney have a rap moniker also? No. Or will Scott ever refer to her in her song, call her something like his PhD, PIC, what's that? Oh, pretty hot, PhD, PIC, it's like all one. Pretty hot diatribe partner in crime. I hope so.
No, every time you go to freestyle, the only thing you ever say is, my name's Witty B, and I'm here to say. So you're Witty B, if anything.
Yeah, that's my name on Reddit, too.
Because you built that brand. Like, you're clearly Witty B.
Witty B.
Witty B in the place to be.
Yeah, exactly.
And the place to be is with Witty B.
Count me in as the few who still hasn't watched home movies. Oh, no. On my queue, and I keep meaning to get around to it. Sadly, I just started Sons of Anarchy and can say without any hesitation that it will be eating up any free TV watching time that I have until caught up. While also juggling adventure time with that, too. But those are so short, and so shouldn't take too long to catch up on. Home movies are short, too. It's, like, what, 15, 20 minutes an episode?
But a few seasons. There's a lot of episodes.
Yeah, like 4 seasons, I think.
Speaking of Sons of Anarchy, before we jump in, 2 things. Lately, on last week's episode, a major character died.
Uh-huh.
And I'm not going to give anything away.
Oh, you've been watching it?
No.
Oh.
I've been on Facebook. And watching the war go back and forth between people who saw the episode on time, spoiling it for everyone who had DVR'd it. And people are just getting furious with each other.
DVR is causing more problems in this world than racism and religion combined.
I think that's probably true. I've said that since the beginning. Yeah. If you let people record their television shows, things are going to be terrible.
I have a professor who still records them with VHS tapes. And he was like, I can't record this show because it's on at the same time as this other show that I record with, and I have to press on the VCR or something like that. And we're like, what? Oh, man.
We'll be that way. We'll be using VCR. A DVR, and they'll be like, you don't use the anal USB?
You don't even have to watch things. You just plug them into your anal cavity.
Yeah, I am still having trouble. For me, personally, that has been mostly an exit-only type of port. Another thing about that show. Did you hear about Halfsack?
Yeah, is that from Sons of Anarchy?
Yeah, so there was a character named Halfsack, which I don't know if I remember or not him leaving the show. I've only seen, his name is Halfsack for a reason, so.
He has half a sack.
He has half a sack.
Well.
That is besides the point. Recently, and this was going to be our movie news this week, but we can talk about it now.
Why? Let's just save it for movie news.
Okay.
All right, since this week was about top 5, this is still Daniel, by the way. Since this week was about top 5 movies available to Instant, maybe you should do a list of top 5 movies that should be released on DVD or Instant. I can't believe that there are still some movies that haven't come out on DVD yet, though, although I'm sure copyright claims or licensing rights probably get in the way of a lot of those. The Beatles documentary Let It Be would top my list. I want to see it so bad, but still have to wait. Love the podcast. Love you two more. Should we do that list, or should we talk about what I... Because I have a few that I'd want
to... No, we should do that list. It's a really good list. We'll do it next week. The I have recently re-hooked up our VCR and have been going to the DI, or the thrift store, and buying...
Calling it the DI really means you're a Utahn.
Calling it the DI?
Yeah, I guess, like, in Utah, people will be like, we're going to the Walmart, or we're going to the Smiths, or the DI.
Yeah, I've always said the DI.
Oh, maybe it's California, too? I don't think so. I thought you guys were classier than that.
We absolutely are not. and I've been buying VHS tapes of movies that either I aren't on DVD, or movies that I just didn't realize were on DVD. Or usually a lot of them are out of print and just hard to find kind of stuff. And I've found some really good movies. Some of them will probably make my top 5, so I don't want to talk about them here. But that's a huge untapped resource for movies. I found
this, VHS tapes.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you can buy them.
Yeah, I mean it's clearly not DVD quality.
Yeah, and most of them they've cut off the sides to make them fit your screen, which don't fit screens anymore.
But it's you can buy them for like 50 cents, and it's just a movie. I've got some movies now that if we have a movie night, like, I'd love to play them because no one's ever heard of them before, yeah. And they're really good. 50 cents compared to like a $44.95 out of print DVD.
Yeah.
So we'll do that list next week.
All right. Next email?
Sure.
Should I just read it?
Yeah.
All right. This is from Josh. He says, I'd like to comment briefly on The Host. I really love the way that Korean movie.
Right.
I really love the way it changed momentum from comedic to classic monster movie to suspense. It's such a fresh way to make a film that American film rarely approaches. The first time I saw it, I only kind of liked it, but upon second watch, I loved how the director took it to a place where the odd moments he wanted in the movie could exist. Plus, it has the best mass panic scene ever. And we talked about this before last week, that maybe that's it. Maybe I'm just not used to it in American cinema, and that's why I don't like that it's like a comic. It's a comic movie and a horror movie, but the horror isn't comedic. It's like two different movies in one. But I think it was the style of comedy in that movie that just, like, gets at me. I mean, it's like,
right, they could be playing that, like, noise. Horror.
No, but they could be playing that noise that's like, I actually think that they do include, like, sound effects like that. Like, someone will slip and it'll be like, ba-boing! And, yeah. Like, it's just, like, so weird.
I haven't seen The Host, but I am really looking forward to Memories of a Murder, which was Josh's You Choose pick last week. By the way, we should say that Daniel was the You Choose winner this week.
Oh, okay.
And I forgot to mention that.
Okay, I watched, this is Josh again, I watched American History X recently, and it does hold up. I like your list. If I made one, I'd consider most everyone your list, I'd have to do 10, considering your lists with Elephant Man, Million Dollar Baby, Night of the Living Dead, E.T., Boys in the Hood, add my top 5 you didn't mention... Dancer in the Dark. Are you sure you copied this right? Breaking the Waves, The Fox and the Hound, Leaving Las Vegas, Whale Rider. So I don't know what he's referring to, and I don't know what that meant, but I just threw a lot of film names at you, and they're all good. I think he's talking about sad movies.
Right.
And he's pulling...
our last top 5 list.
Okay, so he's pulling from ours.
Yes, he liked ours. He'd consider all of ours on our list.
And then he added some.
Yes, are you sure you're reading right?
Yes! I'd consider most everyone your list. I'd have to do 10 considering your list
with... If you added 2 letters, that entire thing would read perfectly. So yeah, that's on you.
No, there are some things
I saw this thing on
missing,
Facebook. I saw this thing on Facebook.
Including commas.
I saw this thing on Facebook that said, like... You just read this, and none of these words are spelled correctly. And I looked again, and they weren't. Every word was misspelled. The brain, when working correctly, can put things together, even if they're not PhD-level candidate.
This is going to maybe be too much, but I can never understand our biggest fan, Rebecca's posts.
Like, why?
Half the time there will be like one like key word that's like a do is spelled D-O-N-T. Or like she'll just have one keyword that's completely off, and I'll just sit there for like a good 3 minutes, like being like, "What does she mean?" Until I finally get it.
You're gonna make her go back. She's gonna look at every post that she's done in like the and last
be
like, year.
I haven't and be done
like,
that forever.
Or never, or because I've never noticed it.
You haven't? Oh
my God. You should. Well, you know what you should do. You should print it out, and circle it with your red marker, put it in a addressed envelope, stamp it. Take it to the post office, send it to her, so she'll know what she's talking
about. I don't care about grammar and stuff on Facebook, really, but sometimes you're obscuring your meaning, and I don't understand your intentions.
No, because the only problem I have with obscuring your meaning on something like Facebook is, like, your friend Wolfbreed or whatever.
No, we can't talk about that. What if she listens to this?
Does she?
She might.
How?
I don't know. There's, like, I put stuff around the department.
On the Facebook, too.
Yeah, don't.
Your Facebook friends. Don't. I'm just saying, I personally have a problem understanding what some of your smart friends talk about when they're on the Facebook.
Oh, okay.
Also.
Yeah. They are, also their brains, think too fast.
No, they just think completely differently. I don't think it's a speed thing. I think it's just you know more words than I do. And I don't like it.
Oh.
Now that we've alienated everyone who's... Oh, yeah, and also, fuck Daniel. That covers everybody.
Josh also says, yeah, I know, two from Von Trier. Fuck that guy for making the most powerfully debilitating sad female leads ever.
Yeah, fuck that guy and Daniel.
Breaking the waves, I have to watch this weekend for class. Ugh, it's so sad. I've only seen it the once. And
anyway. I'm trying to remember how many Lars von Trier movies I've ever seen.
Any?
I haven't seen Dogville.
Antichrist.
Yes, I did see that, but I didn't see Melancholia, didn't see Manderley, didn't see...
The Kingdom, that TV show?
Nope.
Breaking the Waves? Mm-mm. Dancer in the Dark?
Nope.
Wow. That's crazy. You call yourself a film...
Because every
time... I don't know, what do you call yourself? Film scholar?
Podcaster. rapper.
You call yourself a podcaster.
It's because every time somebody brings him up, people are talking about, like, I don't know what that movie was about, or that movie kicked my ass three ways to Sunday, and it's just hard for me to gear up for that.
Yeah, you do have to gear up for them, but they're interesting at
the same
time.
Like, I don't
want
to gear up for Dogville.
I usually hate...
I'd rather watch Birth.
I usually hate them and then like them.
I meant Birth the movie, not like I'd rather watch a Birth.
Yeah, I didn't really get that though, because Birth is like sadder than a Von Trier movie.
Really?
Yeah, I mean it's just
everybody talks about Dogville like
it's because nobody's seen Birth.
Birth isn't that sad. Birth is very good though.
Yeah, but nobody's seen it. That's the only reason they're not talking about it the same way.
Well,
like who directed Birth, for example?
Nicole Kidman.
No. That's what...
Lars von Trier.
That's my point.
That fucker Daniel.
All right, can we move on? I feel like...
From the Test Potters Podcast.
We've been on this, like, way too long.
This was fun. Stop ruining everything.
All right.
With your opinions. Next up is movie news.
News on the mark.
Half sack. He's got half a sack.
Don't call it a sack. That's the problem with his
name.
It's fine that he only has half of one and that you refer to him that way. I understand, but don't call it a sack. Call it a testicle.
That is... What? He's got a half a testicle?
He's got half a scrotum.
He's got a half a fantastical?
Half scrotum.
Okay. Anyway, so this guy, he was an actor on Sons of Anarchy, and I don't remember if he was still on the show when I stopped watching. I got through, like, the first three seasons. And, he... just died in real life. Spoiler alert.
How'd he die?
He fell off a wall after, presumably, murdering his elderly landlord.
What? And he, then he fell or jumped?
Fell. So, they don't have all
murder.
The...
Murder! Whoops!
Yeah, murder.
Oh, wow.
Get out of there. Try to scale a wall. I heard he was fighting also with, like, a roofer on the building
next to the
building.
So he was on drugs.
I don't know. But he beat this old woman to death. Allegedly.
Oh my gosh.
I don't want to get sued.
by half sack.
By half sacks people.
Half sacks estate.
Yeah, exactly. I want to stay far away from half sacks estate. And, yeah, he, jumped off from this building onto a wall, fought with this roofer, tried to jump back onto the wall, fell to his death. I have no clue. That's all the details they have so far.
It sounds like he had it coming to him.
Well, I can't... I mean, it's sad he couldn't have fallen off the wall before he killed this old lady.
Mm-hmm.
But I just don't know. Oh, also another sad bit of information about Hollywood celebs.
Uh-huh.
Who you don't really know by name or remember. Do you remember Joni Loves Chachi?
Oh, I heard about this. Like, she's living out of her car or something?
She's like... I think she's homeless now, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Poor Joni. Everybody hated her, though.
Really?
On the show? Wasn't she the one that was like... I mean, when Joni and Chachi came in, it was kind of like, oh, Happy Days is over.
Okay, yes. But she was also always the younger sister.
Right, but it was once Chachi... Okay, so it's Chachi who ruined everything, not Joni.
Well, no, because Chachi was Scott Baio.
He was so cute.
Yeah, it was just
Scott Baio also on Charles in Charge?
Yes.
Okay.
And they had a spinoff show after Happy Days was over, and it wasn't that great. It absolutely wasn't. Just, nope. That's a fact.
It absolutely wasn't.
Very good.
What a surprise.
But I guess she is homeless now, and so she just got kicked out of a trailer. She was living in a trailer, and it was her, I believe, her mother-in-law's trailer. And her mother-in-law was too upset about Joni's hard partying ways. They were like, you gotta get out of here.
What is she, like 50-something now?
Uh-huh.
Oh, that's so sad.
Our friend Heather Conover posted this article to Facebook talking about it. It's how I found out about it. And then she pointed out that the article called her worse for wear, looking worse for wear, twice. Not just, I've never seen that before. That was a sad detail that she picked up on. In a couple years ago, they sued. The cast of Happy Days sued for, like, merchandising royalties
that they weren't paid for. Are they still selling merchandise?
No, but off of, like...
Retro.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. And, each one got, like, over $50,000. And so now she's kind of living off of that.
Oh, okay.
And I guess she was
50,000. I could live for a long time off 50,000.
Maybe
I
not guess with hard like partying a, ways.
Like cocaine habits, yeah.
Allegedly.
All right.
Actually, you just made that up.
We done?
Yeah. With celebrities are sad.
Joni and Half Sack.
Nothing good has happened to celebrities this week at all that I heard. Okay. And I couldn't find a single piece of happy celebrity news.
I'm sure someone had a baby or something.
Ugh. Strike three. On to the birds.
There's no reason to be afraid.
Birds are not aggressive creatures, miss. They bring beauty into the world.
That might be true for one bird, but thousands of birds? That's a different story.
I hardly think a few birds are going to bring about the end of the world.
So, last week, The Birds was in Cinemark Theaters, I believe it was Cinemark. They were doing some retrospective thing where they played some interviews with Tippi Hedren before the show and some other people who were involved in the filming of it, and then they played a new digitally remastered version of The Birds, and we went with a bunch of friends to go see it. And I was kind of surprised. The turnout was not bad. I had always wondered about these, like, special event movies and just like filmed performances that they do in movie theaters, and at $11.50 a ticket, like, I bet they're doing pretty well. I can see why they keep scheduling them.
And I understood for something like The Birds, like, it's a movie,
yeah,
and it's a movie that a lot of people love, but when you go and see, and this is what I would love, if anybody emailed in, even if you haven't done it, anybody you know has done it, has anyone gone to see the ballet?
Or the opera. See, I would be more interested in going to see those than I would in seeing The Birds, because I can see The Birds anytime at home. But I can't understand that ballet. Like, that filmed version of that ballet is not coming out on DVD, and I don't have access to it, so I'd have to pay to go see it. I don't know how much those cost, though. I mean, we paid, what, $11.50, right, to go see The Birds?
Right.
That's steep for a ticket.
It is in Utah. I mean, when you're used to paying, $8?
Yeah, so I bet it's more expensive in other states.
Yeah, I bet it is, too.
But I don't know.
And as far as crowds going, my mom went to go see it in California. She went to the 2 o'clock screening. We went to the 7 o'clock. There were 3 other people in her screening. And and she lives in Monterey, which has, like, a really older... Well, yeah. I mean, that's the thing. But there's a lot of older crowds who probably saw the birds in theaters, and I thought they would be at this screening. And I don't know how the 7 o'clock did, but I was very surprised that there were so many people. There were probably 50-something people.
It was so much fun to see it with, like, people.
We went with probably 11 other people.
Yeah.
We had, like, almost a whole row to ourselves. It was a blast. The birds, for me, this was my mom's favorite Hitchcock film, one of her favorite films of all time, top 3. And so we grew up watching this movie all the time. And if you haven't seen The Birds, it's an Alfred Hitchcock thriller about this, like, small seaside town that gets all the birds start attacking the townspeople.
Yeah, over the course of a couple days. Animals attacking humans, people.
Right.
Or movie. Like The Happening, but with birds.
And like Day of the Animals,
but with birds. With
a story.
Or Day of the Triffids with birds.
With birds.
Right.
I get it. Okay.
The thing about The Birds is, even when we were kids, like, this movie was never scary, right? Were you ever frightened by
yeah.
the birds?
Oh, yeah. When I
oh,
was,
you were?
When I was little?
Yeah.
Totally scared me.
Oh, when I was little, I was like, this is a joke.
For me, it was just like, kind of changed how I saw birds as a little kid.
Really?
Yeah, they're everywhere. You don't even pay any attention to how many birds. All I'm saying is if you saw as many spiders in a day as you saw birds, you would take notice.
Mm-hmm.
But you see birds all the time, and nobody cares. And after I saw that movie as a little kid, anytime
that.
I see, like, a big thing of birds at once, I watch them.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It scared me as a little kid, for sure.
I didn't see it, I guess, that early, but when I saw, like, I guess I saw parts of it, maybe? I don't know. But when I saw it on TV, I just remember thinking, like, it was, wherever I saw it, it was just too, like, silly, you know? Like, it would have been scary if the performances were a little more realistic. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's always these women who are like, birds! Birds! Like,
and for me, it freaked me out because
hysterically.
There were so many scenes of the birds attacking children, and that resonated with me. The first big attack is at a birthday party. Later, a big group of crows attack a school.
The crows are freaky, kind of, when she's sitting on that bench and just... keeps cutting back to the crows, and there's more and more crows on
cuts
the playground.
Cuts to the playground, 3 birds. Cuts back to her, cuts back 10 birds. Yeah. Like, okay.
That's pretty good.
It's awesome. The second you hit 10 birds is a problem.
Right.
So...
But then there's like 50, 100, 300...
It's cool. I think it's really
cool.
Good.
I mean, what in the interviews they were talking about how much money it costs to make this movie, and you can believe it with having all of those birds and all of the bird handlers.
I can't imagine.
Plus all of the mechanical birds.
There's this great scene where, towards the end of the film, Tippi Hedren's character goes up into the attic to see if the birds have finally left, and
no,
she walks.
No. See, and here's the point of what I'm talking about, the women behaving hysterically. She goes up because she hears a noise. She's aware that birds have been attacking them.
For days now.
They're terrified of them. They've been holed up in their houses. She hears a noise and she goes, I wonder what that is. And of course goes up the stairs into the dark room and checks it out for herself while everybody else is sleeping.
Right. Don't wake anybody. Don't tell anybody where you're going. Just crawl up
not.
Into the attic.
You're gonna be fine.
And she gets attacked by birds.
Your best friend just got killed, but whatever.
Yeah, she gets attacked by birds and can't seem to make it out of the room.
The birds just keep, like, pelting her, and she, like, keeps opening the door and then, like, closing it again. Like, it's not even birds that are closing it. She's just keeps
she,
closing
yeah,
the door.
She's just like, no, I can't let... She's acting like she can't let a single bird out.
Yeah.
Like, 4 birds we established this, not a problem.
Right.
For birds, because they're killing you, it's a numbers game.
Right.
These aren't super birds. These aren't alien birds. These aren't cannibal birds. These are just like, these are just like, you have 100 anything, they're going to get you.
Well, not 100 ants.
Yes, 100 ants will fuck you up.
No, but here's the thing.
100 ants on you right now?
Is that even when they're attacking her...
I'm gonna make a movie called The Ants.
Well, that's been made a few times, but anyway. The like birds are like... The way that the birds are attacking them, they're just like kind of taking little chunks of them, and then like that's it, and then people die of that. Like she gets some chunks taken out of her, and then she is like death pale, like near death, in shock, like... going to die. Whereas, like, I believed it earlier when the guy who gets his eyes pecked out is dead.
Right. The reason I brought up...
It seems like they didn't want to, like, hurt women too much in this or something.
I don't know. Some women die in this movie.
Yeah, but just from, like, some scratches.
Yeah, like Suzanne Plachette. I don't quite know what happened
right,
with her.
Right, why didn't her eyes get plucked out?
Oh, my God. That's what... Okay, first little point. The reason I brought up that scene where she goes to the attic, we were talking about the interviews they did with her before the film.
Oh, right.
Yeah, it turns out they told her that they were going to use mechanical birds. So she said, oh, okay, I can handle that. Action. Just kidding, real birds. Just threw a shit ton of real birds at her.
Yeah, that's how they said it. They threw them. They threw
threw seagulls at me. It's fantastic.
There were probably so many birds injured in the making of this.
Well, that's what I was going to say. I was like, I don't know if you could make this movie with real... I mean, no one would now because it'd be too expensive.
Yeah.
But I also don't think there's any way you could... with the regulations we have on protecting animals
good.
In film.
And that's a good
thing. And fine. You shouldn't be throwing birds at Tippi-Hedren.
Right.
I was going to tell you about this thing. Did you see... Have you been on Reddit today?
No.
There was something called a Tibetan sky funeral.
Uh-huh.
Amazing.
Wait, isn't that where they put dead body up on the pole and then the birds just eat them?
Well, they didn't have them on a pole, but yes.
Yeah.
They had a picture, probably... 40 pictures of what that process looks like, one. So they have a guy cutting a body up, like, sort of, like,
they
opening...
cut it up?
They sort of, like, put long slices down his back and sort of opened him up a little.
Oh, to make him appealing to the birds.
Yeah, and you see this, like, mountain of vultures behind him as he's, like, preparing, and they're just waiting. Like, they're just all, like, pointing the same direction, looking at this dead body, and he... walks away, and the guy just keeps taking pictures, and they just swarm him.
Awesome.
And then they come back away, they shoo the birds away, and he's just like us, like, bones and just like leftover meat.
That's what I want you to do.
So, okay.
I want to become bird poop in death.
Sure.
Well, that's what's coming. That's what's happening to him, right?
I guess that's true. I hadn't thought about what happens after he eats them, but yeah, okay, yeah, you eat vulture poop.
Okay.
What's gross is the guy takes the remains and fillets them off the bone, completely removes the bone, and then has this big, like, massive chunk of meat again. Carries it back over, and the birds swarm again. And he takes the skeleton and leaves.
So Tibet's a good place to be a vulture, is what you're telling me.
Yeah, there were a billion of them, and they all seem really fat, and they seem like a good place to go.
Oh, man, that's gross.
But yeah, they reminded me of the birds. Terrifying. What if you had vultures? There's no vultures in the birds.
They didn't have any menacing birds besides the ravens or the crows. They could have gotten some, like, hawks and eagles and stuff that have flown over to participate in this massacre.
That's a good point. Yeah. That's a really good point.
Although seagulls are scary enough as it is, like, how big they are and how big their beaks are.
I wish they'd remake this movie in, like, downtown New York, and it was just pigeons. It's just
the
billions
pigeons
of pigeons.
Decided to revolt. That'd be awesome. This movie's really funny, though. I think it's more funny than it is scary.
Yeah, if you watch it now, especially if you've never seen it before, you're not gonna be scared by it. I was as a kid.
You'll be impressed, though. It's like, it's still a thriller, and you still want to know what happens.
Extremely entertaining.
I'm not even talking about the jokes that aren't intentional. I'm talking about the intentional jokes, I think, or near-intentional jokes. Like, it's a funny movie.
Right.
You've got this weird relationship between, like, this girl who... So she meets the boy, meets the man. He's an older gentleman. And he's rude to her, and that, you know, turns her on. And so she goes out and finds him on this small town. And then she meets his, like, ex-girlfriend. So...
becomes friends with her.
So Tippi Hendren becomes, like, BFFs with Suzanne Pleshette, the ex-girlfriend.
Yes.
And then the boy, the man, seems to like both of them, kind of. And Suzanne Pleshette is super sexy in it. But then he also is in love with his mother.
Which is a Hitchcock recurring theme.
Yeah, Hitchcock had some Freudian issues. But, like, and then the mother is, like, jealous. So, like, really the love interest in this is the mother, I think, most importantly. And then everybody else is sort of secondary. And then you've got all these, like, weird town figures that are just, like, they're townies. They're weirdos.
But extremely memorable.
Yeah, each character, even if they only have one or two lines, is very memorable.
So it does. It takes about an hour to get to the bird attacks.
I think that hour is the best part of the movie, though.
And that's what our friends were debating after the film. Once the birds start attacking, you kind of know what's going to happen. But you have this, like, strange... this was really the first time where that first hour didn't seem boring to me. As a kid, it seemed really boring.
Yeah.
When I watched it as an adult on video, it still seemed boring. It was just like, man, it takes an hour to get to the bird attacks.
Right.
But seeing it on the big screen, I got sucked into it a different way than I'm used to.
You're interested in, like, the family drama?
Yeah, and it was, like, a really entertaining, and you're right, funny first hour of the film.
Yeah.
She meets this guy, and he wants to buy some lovebirds. She pretends that she is a sales assistant. And then decides, I want to go get this guy. So she brings the lovebirds like an hour and a half up the coast. Meets these town people. And then doesn't want to like ruin the surprise. So she rents a boat to cut across the lake. Like, it's this huge thing. How is she going to get there? How is she going to get the boat? Where does she go to get the boat? Can she drive the boat?
Right.
All this stuff. And it really... clearly could have been edited out.
But it set up like a typical romantic comedy.
Yeah, and then the birds attack, and that's a strength of the film.
Yeah.
Like, a lesser director, I feel, would have cut it out. They would have made that first hour a half hour, and they would have opened the film with a grisly bird attack.
Right, yeah.
You know, and I just think this movie's fantastic. You were talking about the town's characters.
Uh-huh.
My favorite is the woman, the older woman.
The ornithologist.
Yeah, who comes into the diner and starts, like, trying to disprove all of their theories about why...
Right, she knows a lot about birds, and so she's just, like... There's this random... in a town of 50, who would have guessed that there'd be a bird expert?
Yeah.
But she's, like, going to... prove them all wrong with their science and her facts.
Okay, and I know you want to talk about how, like, sexist this town is. Because that...
Oh, yeah, in that scene. So she comes in and she's telling them all these things, and all of the men are just like, no, no, whatever, stupid old hag, no. And
she's
then a guy comes
expert.
In. A guy comes in and says the exact same thing she's saying, and they're like, oh, you don't say. And then Tippi Hendren says something, and she's like... she says, the birds are attacking, and they're like, impossible, whatever, sit down, woman. And then, like, some town drunk comes in and is like, can you believe the birds are attacking? And they're like, no way, the birds are attacking? Like, and it is just like that through the entire movie. No one believes a word she says for the whole movie, including the love interest. He does not believe a word she says.
Right, and there are bodies everywhere.
Yeah, they're just like, it's fine, birds... Didn't, like, so the guy who dies by getting his eyes pecked out, all the windows are broken, there's birds strewn about
there's
his
50
room.
50 dead birds
all over. He's got scratches all over him and peck marks.
His eyes are
and they're like,
out
it wasn't his... the birds, it was a murderer.
Yeah, somebody murdered.
And then the birds came in afterwards.
Somebody murdered the old man.
We don't know why.
And then the birds of all different species came in and decided just to eat him.
Right.
But then we can't really explain how 50 of them died.
Yeah, but also, as soon as that town drunk tells us that it was the birds, we'll believe him.
Right.
Like, Tippi Hendren and the mother think it's birds, and they're like, no. No, it's not.
Right. Also, no one ever investigates the murder of this old man.
No, they're just like, ah, it must have been murdered.
Must have been a murderer. You want me to help you clean up these birds?
I also want to talk talking about the freeway? How can we talk about the movie without talking about the freeway?
That's where I want to end this.
This movie's obsessed with the freeway. They bring it up, like, 10, 11 times in the movie. Like, the one way, you can get two, there's two ways to get into the town. You can take the freeway, or you can take the back roads. And the freeway takes an hour and a half, the back roads take 2 hours. Why do I know this? Like, it's because they repeat it multiple times throughout the movie about the freeway.
And it does not matter.
And the woman's trying to leave town, some woman with her kids, and she's like, where's the freeway? Like, it is
she's
the
freaking
central,
out.
It is a focal point about this of this movie, and I don't know why. Like, I think that would be a great, like, paper topic.
I think that might be my new favorite scene of the movie, is watching the woman with the two children. Who the children are fine.
Yeah, they
she's in the diner freaking out because they're talking
like,
about
stop talking
bird.
About this in front of the children.
Yeah, like so somebody think of the children and like
the kids
could
care
less.
Let me eat my mashed potatoes, ma.
Yeah, they've got like this huge plate of mashed potatoes and they could care less about this bird attack. The mom is sitting there like having a conniption fit, like just like ready to like shit herself over this.
So shaky.
And then she's just like, I've got to get out of here. Where's the freeway? They just, I mean like 30 seconds before, had just shown an aerial shot of the whole town.
Which is like fifth population 50.
There is one road.
One road.
You want to know where the freeway is? Take the road. Right. It'll lead you to the freeway. Worst case scenario, you go the other way and it leads you to the scenic route.
But instead,
there's no other way.
Instead, there's some jackass in the bar who's just like, let me finish my drink. I just want to have a drink. Like, he's just really upset the whole time. And she's like, where's the freeway? And he's like, you can follow me on the way out, but I'm going to finish my drink first. And so then you spend the next 5 minutes of her, like, anxiously pacing while the guy's just, like, sipping his drink.
And good for him.
Yeah.
Okay, he should be able to enjoy his drink. He's doing her a favor. Everybody's going to be fine. And she just freaks out, and she says, I can't wait any longer. And she just takes off. Which way is the freeway? And she takes off. Then there's an explosion, and birds attack, and there's all this stuff. And then the lady comes running back in.
She couldn't find the freeway. We were dying. That's the hardest I've ever laughed in a movie. And it was not supposed to be funny. And so the theater's kind of quiet, and Heather and you and I are just shaking in our chairs because it's so funny.
Oh, yeah, because then right after that, Tippi Hedren comes back in, and all the women folk are gathered, like, in the back room.
Yeah,
and
well,
there's Tippi like...
Hedren, so it's so funny. The birds start attacking, so what do they all do? They run outside. They're like, ah, birds! I'll go out here! And Tippi Hedren ends up in, like, a little phone booth, and is just, like, spinning in circles, screaming as birds hit the sides of this phone book, just like, another bird! Oh, so many birds! So finally her boyfriend comes and gets her out. They go back into the restaurant where all the women folk are huddling, and they're like, where did you come from? And Scott leans over and whispers, the freeway! I hope this isn't a, like, you had to be there moment.
Oh, no.
But
it's so ridiculous.
There's some reason this movie's obsessed with the freeway, and I haven't figured it out, but
I think
it'd
be... I feel this review is worth it completely just for the gem that we gave you to watch for every reference of the freeway.
Yeah.
Like, the movie's fantastic, but, like, there's some weird parts in it, and that freeway is one of
them. I wonder if, like, the freeway was, like, a new invention in... that part of California, like, they didn't have the freeway yet,
know.
Or...
It's an hour north of San Francisco, like, in 19, like, it's like one of his last five
or
films.
Or if it's making some sort of comment on movement versus stasis of this old town, and, like, I don't know.
Like, no one knows how to leave.
Or is it because,
like,
no one's ever had to leave. Or the freeway's encroaching on nature. Like, it's unnatural to drive this fast.
None of it seems that smart. It just seems like, part of me feels like it's just a coincidence.
Yeah, maybe.
But it does come up a lot.
It comes up a lot, though.
Let's talk about the last scene, and then we'll wrap it up.
Okay, this is a long review.
The last scene is one of my favorite movie moments, period.
After she's had her shock, nervous
she's
breakdown.
She's gone up to the attic.
Scratches.
Yeah, they pelted birds at her, and then they pull her out. She just keeps getting into trouble, and he has to keep, like, pulling her out of that danger.
Right.
And then He goes out and he says, we're getting out of here. So he goes out and there's birds everywhere. And he's just slowly, quietly walking to the car. Turns the car on. Gets everybody out into the car. And they're just surrounded by like hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of birds. And they slowly, as slow as they can, quietly as they can, drive away off into the distance.
But they're in a car with a cloth top.
Yeah, they're in a soft top.
They're not getting out of there.
When my friend Aaron pointed that out to us after the film, I had never thought before that they're probably...
Oh, really?
I thought that there's like a good chance, like there's like a 50-50 chance.
Yeah.
But he was the first person to ever tell me, like, they're dead. If those birds want them dead, they're absolutely dead. Like, they're in a soft top car.
Well, if they can get away before the, like, cycle of bird attacks, because the birds, like, take breaks in between their attacks, and they're okay. But, yeah, they're in that soft top.
But it's cool that like, I love the pessimistic ending, or at least the leave it open ending. Like, there's no way to beat those birds.
Right.
That old lady was right. There's way more species of birds than there are humans on the planet.
And the idea that this has happened before in, like, Santa Ana or something?
Santa Cruz.
Oh, okay. So it had happened a few weeks before in Santa Cruz, so it's like...
But they said that those ones got lost in the fog.
And maybe. Now those are on a clear day. I don't know. Because you saw how much rationalizing they tried to do in this town, too. No, it's a murder! Just because they know that if, you know, the birds decide to fight back,
you're powerless.
We're screwed. That's why I love nature versus humans movies.
You never realize, like, how outnumbered you are.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, that was our review of Alfred Hitchcock's The Birds. Next up, we're going to list our top 5 favorite Hitchcock movies. Stick around. What's your number 5 favorite Hitchcock movie?
North by Northwest.
Excellent choice.
Yes, I really like the part with Mount Rushmore. You said we have to do this fast, so let's move it along.
You like the part with Mount Rushmore?
Yeah, I think Mount Rushmore is really scary. I think big statues, I'm sure I've talked about this before, are really terrifying. So I like that part. It's iconic and I always remember it. That's my guinea pig noise. Can they hear it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then it's about a guy who's accused of being a spy, right?
Right.
And they chase him across the country. I really like the chemistry between Cary Grant and Eva Marie Saint in that.
Right.
She's amazing in that. I've never been the biggest Cary Grant fan just because he's like, I feel like he's a little over the top for my taste. Like, I'd prefer Jimmy Stewart in a Hitchcock movie any day. But 2 Cary Grant movies on this list are mostly because the female lead in the movie were so strong.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
That would make my top, like, 7.
Yeah.
It was probably, like, Rope was gonna make my list, and then North by Northwest would probably be right after that.
I just love those scenes when they're on the train.
It's got a lot of really strong sequences.
Yeah.
Which, kind of, as I'm looking through my list, like, that's a huge part of my list, are, like, memorable sequences.
Mm-hmm.
He has...
And mine is mostly memorable chemistry, because I haven't seen... I mean, I watched a ton of Hitchcock movies as an undergraduate, and then I haven't seen them since then, except for The Birds and Psycho.
Mm-hmm.
And so, it's really hard for me to remember, like, the... everything about the plot, I just remember specific scenes from the movies, and I'm like, oh, I loved that scene.
Right.
And it seems like he works well that way. I mean, I'm never agreeing with his, like, gender politics or any of the Freudian stuff he, like, consistently throws out there. But I do, his sequences are, like, masterful, obviously.
Right. My number 5 is Shadow of a Doubt.
I haven't seen that, I don't think.
It's really cool. It's about this little girl named Charlie. She's probably, like, in her teens.
Uh-huh.
And she's so sad that her life is so boring. And then she gets a letter that's saying that her Uncle Charlie is coming, who she was named after.
Uh-huh.
Right before she gets there, this cop comes up to her and says, hey, by the way, your Uncle Charlie is one of two suspects we have for being a serial killer who kills old widows. Whoa. So if you see anything, let us know. So she's
have a good weekend.
She says he could never be my Uncle Charlie.
But it plants that shadow of a doubt.
It's the shadow of a doubt. The more she starts to watch him, there is like one funny scene though where he is like at dinner and then starts talking about how much he hates rich widows.
Mm.
So that's that.
Well, do we ever find out if he's?
We do, and I'm not going to spoil it.
Just nod or shake your head. Is he? Interesting.
So they,
That was good radio right there.
Shadow of a doubt, though.
Good one.
Good one.
All right, my next one, my number four, is Blackmail. Have you seen this one?
Oh, yeah.
1929, it's his first talkie, and widely considered the first British talkie, because 29 is right where they're making the transition to sound, and there's actually a silent version of this, and a version with dialogue. I haven't seen the silent.
No, I don't think I have either. I think I've only seen the one with audio.
But this is another one where the sequence stands out to me so much. It's about, so this girl meets this guy. They go back to his place, and she's going, I think she got wet in the rain or something, and so she was going to change her dress. And as she's trying to change her
dress,
he tries to rape her,
oh.
as you sounded like you were interested in doing. And so to fight back, she grabs this butter knife and kills him with a butter knife.
Good, yes.
And I just remember this scene. I remember they're like wrapped up in the curtains, I believe, and that there's this painting of this laughing clown in the background. It's just like...
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, that painting was incredible.
It's just awesome. And that's how they end the movie with that painting as well.
I forgot about that.
Well, and then, of course, in the meantime, I mean, she leaves the apartment, but she leaves her gloves behind. And so the whole movie is about how, you know, this guy blackmails her because he has her gloves and knows that this will prove that she murdered the blind date. And, you know, there's no proof that he tried to rape her at this point. So
right.
She'd get screwed.
My favorite shot from Blackmail is where the bad guy steps into this room and there's a shadow coming through like a light, some sort of lamp or something, and it puts this curly Q mustache shadow on his face, which totally is like a detail that Hitchcock would do, but at the same time,
one of the screen villains.
But yeah, and also it was the type of thing that you would do in a silent film.
Uh-huh.
You know, it was just like so visual.
Yeah.
That's my favorite shot from that movie.
Yeah, for sure.
My number four is Notorious.
Okay.
Is that on your list?
It is, but I don't remember it that well, so you talk about it, and I will just say, it's on my list. Moving on. I like Nazis. I mean, I don't like them. I like movies about Nazis.
Here we go again.
Okay, go on.
So, Notorious is about this, Oh my god, I'm blanking on her name. Okay, so it's Cary Grant again. Ingrid Bergman. Who's the Bergman director?
Ingmar.
That's why I always get them mixed up.
Ingrid and Ingmar.
Yeah, and Claude Rains is in it.
Oh, okay.
It's fantastic.
But so is Cary Grant again.
I said that.
Oh, sorry. That's my second one that has Cary Grant in it, though.
So here's basically what IMDb says. It says it's about a woman who is asked to spy on a group of Nazi friends in South America. How far will she have to go to integrate herself with them?
Well, she's the daughter of an old Nazi. Ex-Nazi. Nazi.
And it's, this, again, we go back to sequences. There's this scene where they're throwing a big party, and she has to go be sneaky throughout this whole party and has to do certain things before the party is over. And instead of having a clock or have dialogue saying like, oh, the party is almost over, what Hitchcock does is he keeps the camera on a selection of alcohol that's available. And as the party continues, those bottles dwindle down and down. And it's just a subconscious thing that you pick up on going like, oh, she better hurry. Oh, and yeah. You don't exactly know why, but you do get the sense that, like, this party is, like, wrapping up. Uh-huh. And it's because of those shots. Well, yeah, when the
booze is gone, why would you want to stick around?
Exactly.
Especially if it's a bunch of Nazis. You gotta be drunk to hang out with the Nazis.
This is my favorite Ingrid Bergman role. Mm. I think she plays,
What about, The Hideaways?
Yeah, I love The Hideaways, for sure. which is... what a tangent, but it's the, I don't know if it went straight to TV. I think it was a TV movie in the 70s of the mixed up files of Basil Frankweiler. That will be probably, it would have been on my list for not available on DVD. Oh. Saw it as a kid, well, got it a million times.
Let's leave that.
No, it would be, but it's on DVD now.
Sorry.
It's on one of those Warner Brothers is releasing...
The archive movies.
Which is just like, they charge a lot.
Yep.
And then it comes with no special features.
Right, because they're making them per request. So right. So they don't have the DVD somewhere in a warehouse. They just pull it out and make the DVD for you.
Right.
Yeah, it's pretty cool, though. Like,
I mean, I'm always happy to be able to get films that I couldn't get before. Yeah. Especially this one. I've been looking for a VHS tape that wasn't $100. For a long time.
Yeah.
And so I was happy to get it. But I would say that she is even better in Notorious than she is
really
in The Hideaways.
All right, my number three. Oh, wait, were you done with Notorious?
I'm done, yeah.
Okay, my number three is Rebecca. This one is not maybe as visually striking as his other films, but the story's so good. This Daphne du Maurier, I don't know how to pronounce her last name, Maurier, maybe. That book is awesome. And Joan Fontaine in it is, like, just so, like, innocent and fresh, but, like, grows up so much in the movie. Like, you see her grow, like, her arc just so clearly, and it's tragic, and I really like it. So, I mean, she meets this older gentleman when she's away she's, like, a companion for this old vulgar woman. She's like horrible old woman, and she's a companion, and they're staying at some resort town in France, and she meets Laurence Olivier, who she doesn't know, but he's like, well, she finds out soon that he's this really rich guy from England. He has this huge manor and he's very famous, and his wife has died, and so she hooks up with him, and then she has to, the whole time, it sounds like Shadow of a Doubt, she has to try and figure out, like, did he murder his ex-wife, his dead wife.
I just realized that every time I have looked at Rebecca, when I see it on a list somewhere, or a poster, uh-huh. or a DVD, I've been thinking of the film noir movie Laura.
Oh, that's why you say you don't like it? I like Laura, the Preminger movie, right?
Yes.
But...
Which is not my favorite movie.
But Rebecca is way more, like, entertaining.
I'm wondering if I've ever seen Rebecca.
I don't know,
because I think I've been thinking of Laura... Every time.
Oh.
That is... I'm going to have to watch both of them again and get to the bottom of that.
Okay, Rebecca's, like, slow... Or Laura is slower moving.
Yes, absolutely. Uh-huh. Interesting.
Yeah.
That changes
things.
That
plot's not sounding familiar?
No, it is not.
Okay. What's your number two?
My number two is The Birds.
Oh, good. We already talked about it.
Yeah, but I do want to talk about my number three, which is Rear Window.
Okay. That's my number one.
Let's wait.
All right.
And then I talked about The Birds. What do you got left?
Notorious, which we talked about that? Notorious.
All right.
I didn't mention from Notorious. That's his, like, most passionate one, I think.
It is a little saucy.
It's saucy. There's a triangle, uh-huh. and there's a lot of kissing.
Claude Rains is really good in it.
Yeah.
A lot of people just know Claude Rains from Casablanca, but, like, he is really good in this movie.
Yeah,
agreed. I read on the trivia earlier today that Alfred Hitchcock claimed that the FBI stalked him for 3 months because this film had to do, Notorious, mm-hmm. had to do with uranium. And they were just, like, too nervous about that he was going to try to, like, get...
That he...
I don't know.
Or they thought he was going to take the secrets away, or why?
I don't know. If the film had to do with uranium, like, they were too scared of it.
I feel like there must be more to that story that you didn't hear about.
I just read the trivia about it, so I don't know. But I will look into it.
All right.
I've read the book that he did with Truffaut, and I don't remember him mentioning anything about that, but I'm curious about it, so I'll add it to my Hitchcock to-do list.
And then, so we talked about all the rest of yours, except for Rear Window?
Yes, Shadow of a Doubt, Notorious,
What is window. It? Wait, say it one more time, Shadow of a Doubt?
Shadow of a Doubt.
Okay.
Rear Window is coming up for you, The Birds, so, can I talk about my number one?
Yeah.
Strangers on a Train. And so now people are saying, where is Vertigo? Where is Psycho?
Right.
Where is North by Northwest on my list? They are not there.
Vertigo is the one that, like, all the critics voted as number one. The only
Sight and Sound just named it the new number one movie of all time. It, like, ousted Citizen Kane.
Which is...
I disagree.
The reason people love Vertigo is because it's Freudian. I really think so. And so film critics can have, like, a really fun time psychoanalyzing that movie. I think that that's a huge part of why they think it's the best.
And when you read... when you read the writings that are about Vertigo, it is that. It is like them playing psychiatrist or psychologist.
Which is so weird. I don't understand, like, maybe if anybody from grad school listens to this, like, they can tell me why in literary and film criticism we study these psychoanalysis and then we try and psychoanalyze characters without outdated modes of psychology.
Right?
Like, we've already
to place Freud around
we've
it.
We've already passed him with Skinner and Piaget and Erikson, like all of these much more modern things. We're much more interested in determinism now, blah 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 blah. Why do we stick to Lacan and Freud? Psychologists never even looked at Lacan. And I understand when they're looking at, like, language, because Lacan had a lot to say about language, but they don't just look at that. They talk about, you know, the mirror stage and seeing yourself in the mirror and seeing yourself in your mother's eye and identifying yourself and blah, blah, blah. But that was never something that actual psychologists used. So why do we do it in literary studies? I don't understand it. Every time anybody starts talking about Lacan, I just completely shut off because I'm like, what is this worth?
Right.
I don't understand. So when we look at Vertigo, I mean, the only reason to psychoanalyze it is to notice that Hitchcock was obsessed with psychoanalysis. And so it might be a correct way to read it because of that, but does that have any legitimacy to be like, see, in his stage, in the anal stage of his youth, he became attached to his mother and wanted to kill his father, and this lady has penis envy and blah, 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 like...
And that's why Vertigo is like this.
Freud had tons of legitimate stuff to say that's still used. But the Oedipal complex, penis envy, that kind of stuff, nobody uses that anymore. No one takes that seriously
anymore. But you also have to look at these movies were being made during a time where they were being taken seriously.
Right.
And you watch something like Spellbound, you see that all throughout.
Well, yeah, because,
like,
he
was interested in
knows
psychology
those ideas.
And was
right.
playing with those ideas.
So is the only reason then to psychoanalyze something to figure out the director's intentions then?
That seems to me.
What's the point
or
of that?
The writers or the, you know, yeah. Anyway.
All right, sorry.
So my number one is Strangers on a Train, which is about a tennis pro and a effeminate I don't know what he does for a living.
An effeminate.
He's just an effeminate, and that's sort of how he's portrayed in this movie. Who decide to swap murders. Mm-hmm. The tennis pro is not into it. They meet on a train, and the other guy says, you know what, I came up with a genius plan. Two people who've never met before, have no real life connections to each other, trade murders. I want you to kill my mother.
I
know you from the newspapers, and you would be much better without your wife.
Yeah.
Your wife won't give you a divorce. It's very famous. You're in all the tabloids. If she were to die, you could go live your life. And he says, oh, okay, buddy. Yeah, sure, whatever you say, and moves on with his day.
Right.
Not knowing that he's just signed a deal with the devil. Not really, but...
Right, because the guy goes, murders his wife, and then says he's gonna...
one of the most amazing Hitchcock scenes I ever was.
I don't remember. What's so amazing about it?
He strangles her at the fair.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
the
yeah.
The whole sequence at the fair is incredible. But then he, like, kills her, and her glasses fall into the grass, and there's, like, a reflection in her glasses, and... Oh, my God. Strangers on a Train. I have broken this movie down scene by scene, frame by frame. Like, this is what this is the Hitchcock film I'm most familiar with, that I've spent the most time watching and rewatching and studying and reading about. It doesn't get better than Strangers on a Train to me.
Yeah.
So let's talk about Rear Window. Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Rear Window is awesome. Grace Kelly is the most beautiful woman I've ever seen in this movie. She's the babiest babe. She's stunning in this movie. Like, she's so ridiculously beautiful. And then Jimmy Stewart. He's cool.
So Jimmy Stewart, if you haven't seen Rear Window, he plays a, he was a photographer.
Like, he broke his leg and he can't leave his apartment.
And he's stuck in his apartment and he thinks he sees a murder across the apartment complex.
He's just eavesdropping out his window with his camera lens, right? Yeah. One of the reasons I like this movie is how many times it's been parodied.
Mm-hmm.
I love that. Because
it's a great concept.
Yeah.
Because everybody wants to, like, spy on their neighbors.
The whole movie parodies it.
And you just want to, and he's stuck there. And so they built this gigantic set where they have all of these different characters. And you're following little storylines. Right. And you're following little storylines for each of these characters he's watching. But one of them happens to be a supposed murderer. And he can't prove it. And he can't leave his apartment to go find more proof. The only proof he can find is, like, what he can see from his window.
No one will believe him because they just think that he's too bored, that he's starting to crack up. He's looking for entertainment where there isn't any.
Right.
The best part, again, about this, or another best part about this movie, is the extended shots that they have just through every window, and it's just sort of the camera just, like, snakes back and forth, and you see what everybody's doing without cutting.
Like, the amount of rehearsal time and the perfection that, like, gets down to it. Rear Window, I want to say, is his best-made film. It's not my favorite of his films, but it's my number three.
Yeah.
Strangers on a Train is, like, really special to me, and then The Birds is the one.
Rear Window is my number one. I think it's the most entertaining, too. And the least
Freudian. I would agree with that. I would also agree with that. So those were our top five Alfred Hitchcock movies. I want to say, I know we talked about Vertigo for a while. Also, the reason I didn't put Psycho on my list is because while it is extremely interesting how the main character you're following for the first half of the film and the bag of money that she's stolen are both MacGuffins. They're both gone.
Mm-hmm.
There's a huge twist. They both end up at the bottom of that lake, and you're left with what? Everything you've been following is now irrelevant.
That's cool.
That's amazing. But what is replaced, what Marion is replaced with is like a cast of not very interesting characters.
So boring.
Anthony Perkins is fantastic. His side of that story is great. I'd watch him in a Spider Baby-like film, or whatever you wanted to do with him. Like, I could watch a whole movie about Anthony Perkins' character, but the private investigator, and I think it's her sister.
Her sister is the so other people, boring and the,
like,
mousy.
Four or five people who were, like, brought in onto this case to go find Marion are not captivating at all.
And Marion had those great boobs, and then they bring in this girl who, like, I don't even remember her boobs.
Solid point. Yeah. I don't remember her boobs either.
So who cares?
You know whose boobs I do remember?
Marion's.
I was going to say Grace Kelly's, but...
Oh, I remember her legs most.
She was the babiest babe.
Babe.
Let us know. Everybody's seen some Hitchcock movies.
She was a princess.
I know.
Yeah.
Let us know what Hitchcock movies are your favorite. Frankly, My Dear podcast @gmail.com. Thanks for listening. We're going to try really hard to get back in a week. Stick around.
Last minute track, I'm wrapping up the slack. I said a lot of shit that I be never taking back. This is the equivalent of every dream I ever had. I'm writing every word on the back of a Wendy's bag. I'm the Burger King, I'm my biggest fan. You can't slay this man, you can't play my jam. Cause the jam don't play, and in a metal box with locks, you're not safe. I cracked your code, you're 10 below, and all your harder rappers are quick to go cold. Falling back in line just to do what you're told. I don't believe in God, but you know I got soul. Said you know I got soul. So.
Oh, you guys are fools.